Hello, Swamp Fox, and welcome to the June 2025 edition of Fox Chatter. Today's episode will focus on the wing's upcoming transition to a deployable combat wing, an update from the 5-6 Council, as well as the latest information on the current college assistance program. Let's start by looking back at Madrill. Family Day was a fantastic event. A tremendous amount of work was put in by all of the volunteers. Lieutenant Josh Spence did an outstanding job as a planning lead, setting up all of the great activities and sponsors. The parachute jump by Senior Master Sergeant Fred Knox and the Special Forces Association parachute team, the F-16 demonstration by the Shaw demo team, the static displays of civilian and military aircraft, the car show, squid games, the dunk tank, the great food served by Grateful Greens, and of course the free beverages are just some of the great activities we had at the event. Thank you to all the sponsors that are listed on the back of the free t-shirts that were given out. We couldn't do it without them. You may have received an email from Mr. Nick Thomas from Airman Family Readiness asking for your feedback on this year's event. Please respond if you have ideas. The planning committee is already working on next year's, and they're attempting to make it even better than it was this year for you and all of our family members. Now, what can you expect for this upcoming drill? June drill is designated as an IMR, or Individual Medical Readiness Drill. We've shifted away from having specific groups with one specific IMR drill each year and have adopted a new concept where IMR drills are held quarterly. These drills are currently planned for June and August of this year. As we develop next year's calendar, you can expect one IMR event each quarter. This should allow for more opportunities for you to schedule your specific medical needs. We need everyone to be IMR green. This ensures that everyone is ready to deploy if we get a short notice tasking. We can't afford to wait until the last minute for you to green up, to only find out that you're not qualified, and then we can't fill a critical position at a critical time. We have to remain ready, and IMR is an important aspect of that. It's also important that you remain healthy, and regular checkups allow for the preventive maintenance steps that may catch an issue before it becomes a disqualifying event. Your commanders and unit health monitors work extremely hard to track your requirements and schedule the appointments, but it is individual medical readiness, and you play an important role in that. So please be proactive and get your requirements accomplished. Today's primary topic is our wing's transition to a DCW, or a deployable combat wing. The Air Force is directing a change in its organizational structure to make us more prepared for conflict in a deployed environment. The Air Force is designating wings as a unit of action, rather than squadrons as we've done for the past two decades. Since Desert Storm, we've maintained a continued presence in the Middle East and transformed our military structure to support a rotational resourcing requirement fighting the global war on terrorism. When a combatant commander requests forces, the individual services, being the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, validate those requirements, and then they offer forces that meet the deployment requirements. The Army presents a brigade combat team. The Navy provides a carrier strike group. The Marines provide a Marine Expeditionary Force. These are fixed-size units with specific responsibilities. The Air Force has traditionally sent squadrons of aircraft based on mission specialties and who's available without any mobility dwell protections. This has drawn the Air Force very thin. We're continually maxing out our people and equipment as we crowdsource from all over the world to create a fighting force that can operate a semi-permanent base in the desert. We're now making a change. So the Air Force will now mirror the other services and present a deployable combat wing. A deployable combat wing will be made up of three basic elements. The command element will consist of senior leadership and staff. The mission element will consist of MGFE, or a mission generation force element. And the sustainment element is made up of mission support teams and a combat airbase squadron. These things already exist, but we're currently calling them something different. The command elements, what we deployed in 2023, is an XAB. The MGFE is nothing more than our aviation package. And the sustainment element is what we've traditionally filled, what was called an RCP. The intent of the DCW is to train and deploy together as a cohesive unit. The historic air expeditionary wings typically consisted of airmen from more than over 90 bases. The XAB construct replaced the command element and drew the crowdsource pool down to around 60 bases by creating a unified command element. The current Air Task Force, which is essentially an XAB and a combat airbase squadron, consists of a small handful of bases to build that deployment team. A combat Airbase Squadron provides space operating support functions such as airfield operations, force protection, and the sustainment and logistics functions. The DCW is the next evolution. It's envisioned to consist of team members from only a few or maybe even one base. This is nearly impossible because we will almost always need support from outside bases or wings that have capabilities that we just don't maintain in the 169th Fighter Wing, and in some cases, the Air National Guard. However, generating units of action from a small set of bases allows us to minimize crowdsourcing and gets us back to the deployable force that is focused on fighting a large-scale major conflict with the ability to also rapidly deploy. The DCW can be called with short notice, stand up a base anywhere in the world. It can also be split into smaller subunits that can operate out of geographically separate locations. More importantly, it's a unit of action that is trained and operated together prior to being placed in an austere combat environment. The time to build a team is during peacetime training, not in a new AOR under combat conditions. So for the Air National Guard, we need to take two wings and merge them together to create one DCW. That prevents completely shutting down one of our bases for 6 months because we're all single flying squadron wings. There are 90 wings in Air National Guard, and 8 have been selected to implement the first DCWs. We're one of those 8, and we've been selected for DCW implementation in 27.2, or the second half of 2027. We'll be partnering with Rhode Island, which flies a C-130J. So what does that mean? Well, this is very similar to when we were paired with the Utah National Guard for the first XAB in the Air Force. The DCW tasking will require us to form a leadership cadre from our two wings. That leadership group will then deploy downrange and run an airbase for 6 months. The location will be decided by the Air Force, but we will then decide with Rhode Island how we're going to split up those positions. Much of the split decisions are negotiable, and the location where we will be deployed will decide how we likely split up those final positions. If it is a fighter base, then it would make sense to send more Swamp Foxes because we have fighter experience. And if it's a transport-oriented base, then it makes sense to send more C-130 guys from Rhode Island. The final aspect will be establishing the Combat Air Base Squadron, which will run all the aspects of airfield operations, base defense, comm, and sustainment functions such as CE and logistics. These will be split up and shared between our two wings, and some of it will also have to be crowdsourced since neither one of our wings have all of the capabilities that may be required, such as EOD. Since we're still supporting rotational requirements, the MGFE, or the aviation package, may not align geographically with the command element. Although that is a stated objective for the future, to have a DCW with its associated MGFE all in the same location. For now, the MGFE may be aligned with the DCW leadership, it may be sent to another location, or it may stay at home and remain untasked. The mission support teams may also be deployed within the MGFE, or they could be bolted onto another location to provide the support where it's needed. What is completely different is the ability to train, certify, and deploy at the same time. In the event of an immediate conflict, this allows the 169th Fighter Wing to pick up and move together and provide a cohesive fighting force that has the trust of enduring relationships with one another that we've built over years of working together. Similarly, we've already begun developing relationships with Rhode Island so that we can build a cohesive team and leverage the strengths of one another as we prepare for 27-2. All right, so what does that mean for the day-to-day at McIntyre? Well, we need to train the way we fight. So we've been tasked with reorganizing our wing to mirror the DCW construct. We're still going to be the 169th Fighter Wing. We're not changing the names of the wings or any of that. However, we will change some of the internal organization so that it looks like a DCW downrange and it can just be picked up and taken to wherever it needs. And it starts operating from day one the same way that we do every day at home. Initially, that means we need to establish an A staff. So we've put some people on an A staff previously, but we've never fully implemented it. NGB has given us a new manning document that becomes effective 1 July, and it authorizes the full implementation of the A staff. Our intent is to fill the A staff and begin using it for all of its functionality. So the A staff will work directly for the wing and serve as the intermediary with NGB. It'll take over some of the responsibilities that have been shared across the squadrons and take the stuff off the plates of commanders. So the intent is not to create more work. The work already exists. We're just going to shift the responsibilities around and realign how we do business. We'll streamline some processes and increase communication across the wing. This will also inevitably change our meeting schedules. What's discussed at those meetings and who is involved in those meetings. The weekly stand-up will invariably change, and we're going to work our way through how that's going to happen. However, our first step is just to identify the structure, and we're about 90% of the way to that solution. Our next step is going to be to identify the people that are involved in those position changes, and we'll slowly start taking shape of where those people are going to move and what their functions are going to be. We'll put those people in place, and then they're going to determine how to best set up all of their directorates. So the directorates are the letter and the number of the staff positions that correspond with what their specialties are. So the A1 is personnel, the A2 is intelligence, A3 is operations, A4 is maintenance and logistics, A5 is plans, and A6 is communications. The next big change after we establish these directorates is to eliminate the group level functions at the ops and the maintenance groups. So what does that mean? It means the ops and maintenance group commanders will be moved up to the wing staff, and they will serve as additional deputy commanders. This is going to allow for the direct reporting of the ops and the maintenance squadron commanders directly to the wing commander, and it's going to simplify the reporting chain. Squadron commanders will be more empowered to lead their units without the extra layer of bureaucracy. The group commanders will be elevated, and they'll have a wider area of responsibility to cover. Some of the functions that were directly under the groups will get oversight from the A staff, or they'll be realigned under the squadrons. This should empower commanders to have more authority to make command decisions, and it's also going to allow us to empower NCOs and senior NCOs, as well as junior officers, to make more decisions. There are other changes that are being discussed at Air Force level, but they have not been directed for implementation as of now. So under the DCW construct, if the DCW is deployed, the entire fighter wing is unlikely to deploy. That means there will be a small portion of the base that remains at home station, and their job is going to be to maintain McIntyre and to ensure that we continue training operations or even defend the base if we have to. This is going to require a command structure that remains at home and is resourced to still handle that situation. There's still a lot of unknowns with this aspect of it, but the Guard Bureau has tasked us with moving forward and tackling the challenges as we go. If you've been following along, this has been discussed in the background for probably more than a year. It may seem a little scary. It may seem daunting. The questions can be, why are we changing? Well, we're adapting to make ourselves better prepared to fight potential future conflict. So the Air Force has made the decision, and they've already initiated the guidance. It's now our responsibility to take this change and use it as an opportunity. So there is a lot of free space for us to make decisions, and we can make this what we want it to be. So we're going to take advantage of that, and we're going to make the moves that are necessary, and we're going to make this a more efficient and a more effective fighter wing. We're also going to make mistakes, and that's okay. So we're going to learn from those mistakes just like we always do, and then we'll initiate more changes, and we'll continue to make it better. This is an exciting time to be a part of the change that's going to transform our Air Force into a modern fighting force. Today's first guest is going to be Chief Bowen, and he's brought along Tech Sergeant Eric Brumbelow from the 5-6 Council to discuss some of their upcoming events.
Thank you very much, Colonel Bowes. I'm excited to have Tech Sergeant Eric Brumbelow with me today. We go a long way back. A little known fact that Eric and I used to run long-distance marathons with each other from like Columbia to Charleston. I'm excited to have you here today. Introduce yourself.
Well, I'm Tech Sergeant Eric Brumbelow. I'm with 245th Chaos Squadron. I'm actually also the 5-6 President. Running's what got me into the military, and running's what I'm passionate about. However, today, that's not what I'm here to talk about. I'm here to talk about our guest speaker that I'm bringing in to the base on Saturday morning, 10:30 and 12:30 over at 245th Auditorium. His name is Connor Wentling. He is a former Marine Corps helicopter pilot of nearly 15 years. He's basically an Uber driver for grunts, just with worse reviews and no tip jar. He's also had a background in philosophy, humor, and team building, which somehow makes sense when you hear him talk. These days, he blends lessons from stoic wisdom to improv comedy to leadership to help people navigate change, uncertainty, and even the occasional staff meeting. He's known for making deep ideas feel surprisingly light and for making people laugh while they learn. A couple things that he's going to be going over for his speech. So what is stoicism exactly? It's a 2,000-year-old school of Western philosophy that focuses on what you can control and letting go of what you can't. It's not about being emotionless, it's about being ready. Why does that matter today? Because life is full of uncertainty, setbacks, and tough calls. Stoicism gives you a practical way to lead yourself and others through the chaos. Do I need to know anything about philosophy to get anything from what he's about to talk about? Absolutely not. Connor handles the philosophy 101 part. You'll probably walk away realizing you've been stoic all along. You just didn't know the name for it. What kind of talk is this? It's lighthearted, but packed with meaning. Think of ancient wisdom meets modern life, with a few laughs in between. And finally, what will attendees walk away with? Practical tools for facing tough days, leading others well, staying grounded when everything's shifting. Basically, a little more wisdom and a lot less stress.
Well, I appreciate that. That's exciting. How did you come across Mr. Connor Wentley?
Actually, Steph Sergeant Carruthers, she brought him up in one of our 5-6 meetings. So I had a phone call with him one day and we hit it off. It was originally supposed to be just for the 5-6 council, but after talking with him, I felt like the whole base from our airmen all the way up to our leadership could benefit from this and hopefully grow from it.
Thank you. Thank you for expanding it out. I think any time a service member, whether it be enlisted or the officer, can pick up a little bit of nuggets from other people to help us with our leadership, looking out for others, driving the mission forward, that's always helpful. Now, let's go back to the 5-6 Council. What is the 5-6 Council all about?
As the name implies, it's E5s, E6s, so our staff sergeants to tech sergeants. That's just our core NCO base. And so what we're trying to do is find ways to not only grow as ourselves to be senior NCOs, but also to help find ways to mentor and grow our airmen populace. Right now, somewhere in the fall, we're trying to have a cookout for the airmen. And so not only do they get to know their fellow airmen on base, because as an airman, you're kind of in your hole and you're training and you're learning your job. But through the councils that I've come to know, that it's good for networking as well. And so through this cookout, I love to have the airmen get to know one another. The longer they stay on this base, it's only going to benefit them from knowing there are other airmen.
You just spoke to a couple of my heartstrings that I am very passionate about, mentoring and leading. You know, as far as reaching out to the Airmen's Council and the airmen on the base, that's impactful. And I just want to say thank you to you and the 5-6. Because what you're doing is planting seeds for our airmen to look at what the 5-6 does. And the 5-6 should be looking at the top three and what they do. Sometimes we forget where we came from. And for you and your officers of the 5-6 to want to do that, that's meaningful and that's going to be impactful. And you may not see the fruits of that labor and the exertion that you're going to go through for a little while, but I promise you that the airmen will be impacted. So having said that, for the airmen listening to this podcast, and I've always said it before, I hope everyone is listening to this podcast, look for more information to come out in the future. So going back to the 5-6, what would you say your biggest need is?
I would say membership. I want to talk to a room full of people, and I'm nervous when it gets to public speaking and stuff. Right? I mean, like right now, I'm nervous as heck just talking into a microphone, but like, I want to be nervous. I want to be out of my comfort zone. I want to talk to like an auditorium full. Because right now we try and meet into one of the two conference rooms in the maintenance hangar. And last year we had the large conference room filled and it was nerve wracking, but it was amazing to see so many people wanting to know more and wanting to see what they could do to make a change. And I think if we could get our numbers back to where we had them or where I would like to see them be, then I know as a council, we could make the change that I would like to see.
Yeah, there are strength in numbers. Mm-hmm. There's a saying, many hands make light work, right?
Right.
So here's my challenge to the chiefs, our flight chiefs, and our first sergeants. Fill the room. 30 minutes to an hour out of a 16-hour drill period is a little bit to ask, especially knowing that the impact that could be had in the future. I think it's worth the investment for every shop chief, every flight chief, and every first sergeant to encourage your 5-6 to be a part of this council. It is not a get together and just hang out together time. It is get together and make a plan going forward how to make the 5-6 stronger, which makes stronger senior NCOs. So again, the challenge is set out there. Anything else you want to add before we close out?
Excited for a fun drill weekend.
Oh, yeah. Drill is always fun. You know, drill is what we make it, right? And,
correct.
And the 5-6 and the Airmen's Council and the top three, the Chief's Council meets on a Friday before. But drill is what we make it. It needs to be about training. It needs to be about the mission and moving the organization forward and preparing for whatever may come in the future. But at the same time, I'm a firm believer we can have fun while getting the work done.
No, I agree.
Eric, I appreciate you being here, taking a little bit of time out of your day. Colonel Bowes, I thank you for allowing me this time on your podcast. And I'll turn it back over to Colonel Bowes.
All right, thanks.
All right, thanks, Chief Bowen and Tech Sergeant Brumbelow. Really appreciate you coming and giving us the update on the 5-6 Council with some of their upcoming changes, and really looking forward to your upcoming guest speaker. Our next guest is going to be Chief Kenny Monroe from the Recruiting Office, and he's got some important updates for the College Assistance Program.
Thank you, sir. It is time again to register for the CAP, which is a college assistance program that the Air National Guard provides a member funding to go to college. So the question often comes up, what can I use my CAP money for? CAP money can be used for an associate's degree program, which will cover up to $11,000 a year, or it can be used toward a bachelor's degree program, which will cover up to $5,500 per year. It could also be used for certification programs, provided the certification is academically accredited and qualifies by the Commission of Higher Education toward a future degree program. Another question that comes up is, what schools can I use a program for? Any school you attend must be registered in the state of South Carolina at a South Carolina-based school. When you fill out the CAP application, there's a drop-down window to select your college or your institution, and you must select one from that drop-down list. So you cannot attend an out-of-state school and receive CAP funding. Each state has their own program, and so therefore you have to attend a school that's based in the state of South Carolina. Currently, the lifetime amount is $22,000, but we are waiting any day to hear if we have an approved amount to raise that to $35,000, that's huge. That would pretty much pay for a member to go to college for free. If you're not using CAP, I strongly encourage you to apply to go and get your education. The open enrollment period for CAP is going to be June 1st to August 1st for the first period. And if you miss that first period, there will be a second window of November 20th to December 15th. I encourage you to register for all three semesters. When you fill out the CAP application, register for the spring, fall, and summer semesters. Just click the All Three button. That way it reserves the funding for you if you decide to go to school. A lot of people miss that summer semester because they don't do that, and then the money's not there. Click the button. Register for all three. There'll be a flyer going around the base that will have a barcode on it that you could just scan the barcode and apply right on your phone. It takes you right to the Air National Guard application window. And there will also be an email going out this week. We're just waiting to hear before we send the email out if we're going to get the approval to bump up to $35,000. You can also get the information on our Facebook page and also on the 169th Fighter Wing homepage on our website. If you would like more details about the CAP program, you can contact Master Sergeant Jermaine Edmonds, who is our retention manager. He can be reached at area code 803-647-8854, or you can email him directly. If you would like to discuss the CAP program in person, feel free to drop by my office or Sergeant Edmonds, which we're both located in the Fighter Wing Headquarters Building Customer Service Area. Just come up and ring the bell and ask for either one of us, and we'll be glad to come out and talk to you.
Chief Monroe, thanks a lot for giving us the update on the College Assistance Program. It's a great program that's allowing our airmen to get resources to help them pay for their college tuition as they further their education. All right, so that's going to wrap it up for today's edition of Fox Chatter. Our next drill is going to be in August, since there is no drill in July. And as always, if you have any questions, comments, or ideas that you'd like discussed on the podcast, please use the comment box on the Air Force Connect app or reach out directly to PA or myself. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you at June drill. Semper Promise.